I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, in the Great Smoky Mountains of Eastern Tennessee. Come along and join Dan Booth, the chairman of the Gatlinburg Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. He also owns the Hayloft at the Village Shops. It's a best-kept secret of Gatlinburg, as it's tucked away off in the main drag. It's an architecturally stunning collection of shops. Booth also provides a local's eye view of life in Gatlinburg and how the mountain town pretty much missed out on the entire Great Depression. Today, more than 12 million tourists visit the region, with the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and crafts as two of the big draws in the region.
We're here with
Dan Booth.
Dan, you operate a shop right downtown.
I operate a shop right downtown Gatlinburg. It's called the Hayloft, and we're in the Village, right on the parkway. We've been here for 37 years.
Wow. So you've seen a few changes then?
I've seen a couple changes. Mm-hmm. Some for the good, some for the bad.
So tell us about even your little shop Village here. This, you would never expect to step off the sidewalk and find this tranquil little shopping village.
The Village was started being built in 1969 by Jim Girding and Dave Deitch. Both of them traveled the world extensively and took pictures, and they came back and they found an architect and they go, this is what we want to build here in Gatlinburg. We only have 65 feet of frontage, and they said, that'll never work. People will not walk off the parkway. It has worked out very well. They have two sections, one built 1969 and another one built 1982.
They did, and they have paid a real premium to do the slate roofs and hand-carved artwork on the side, the facade.
Yeah, actually, I'm very fortunate enough now to manage the mall with their children now who own the mall. When I first started, I said, when I have to repair something, how do you want me to do it? And they go, we want it done right. And that's how their fathers originally built the place, with real slate, real redwood. Everything you see is real.
There's a freneticness about the main drag. It's just neon lights and a buzz of people, and you step off the street here, and it's just tranquil and sleepy. You can hear it.
Yes, we have two fountains, so when you come back, a lot of people forget they're in downtown Gatlinburg, because when they come back here, it's quiet. We have squirrels. We have tons of flowers and greenery that people just sit back here and love.
Tell us a little bit about your Gatlinburg. You're involved in the chamber, so you obviously have some pride associated with your town.
My folks moved here when I was 12. Gatlinburg is my home, and my mother-in-law was actually born in this Great Smoky Mountains, and my father-in-law was born on the parkway here in Gatlinburg. So my wife's family goes way back. A couple hiking trails named after some of her great-great-grandfather. We have a Pi Beta Phi settlement school here, which, you know, the town came together and kept the Pi Phi's here so we would have a school. The people who live here, we just all just love Gatlinburg in the mountains. Even though we live in the mountains, I mean, it's just home.
Can you talk a little bit about the Pi Phi history?
I can tell you as much as I know. Back in the day, it would have been my wife's great-great-grandfather said, we need a school for our children. They have to learn, and I'm sure many other people said the same. And so they contacted Pi Phi's, and they came in and started a settlement school.
And this was right after turn of the century of 1900s, like 1908, around then?
Honestly, I don't know, but that sounds good to me. I would say it was. And actually, they did not have a place for them. And the Pi Phi's were leaving town. And if you see the original deed to the property that sits behind us right now, it shows where Steve Whaley gave $500, someone else gave $500, someone gave $20, and they bought a large tract of land here. At that time, it was just a large tract of land. They never did think anything about the tourist town that we have today. And all they had to do was come in and actually said, teach your kids reading, writing, arithmetic, and here's this 160 acres or whatever it is, come and teach our children. That's what happened, and they ended up building a school and carrying on. And one of the gentlemen that we used to go to was lived here. His name was Joe Manley, and his wife was one of the original Pi Phi ladies that came to teach back then.
So that still exists, that school?
Our elementary school is actually right across the street from where we are right now, right downtown Gatlinburg. When they have their little Halloween festival, Harvest Fest, the kids will dress up in their costumes and walk through town. All the shops still give out candy to all the trick-or-treaters. I mean, it's just something that we're used to that the tourists, when they're watching it, they don't know what to do.
So there really are, there's two levels to reality here in Gatlinburg. There's the tourist town where people come and they expect to see one thing, and then there's the town itself that operates on its own plane.
Oh, yes, we're a town of probably about 4,000 people. We have one grocery store, one drive-through window at a McDonald's, but we can sleep 50,000 people. So there's our town and then the town for 50,000 people. That's just what we're used to doing is being in a hospitality business. People come and enjoy our town. They hike. They go see all the crafts people that we have. And it's just a cozy little town that, you know, people have come for years and years and have family memories.
Was it the National Park when it was formed here in the 30s? Is that what started to be the game changer for Gatlinburg?
Yes. Whenever the National Park started, my mother-in-law actually was born in the park. And if you come to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, you will realize it is, if not the only free national park to come to, because whenever the land was acquired, that was one of the deals that they would never charge to see the beauty they were giving up. My mother-in-law's 86 years old right now, and every time the park starts thinking of a way to charge, she has went to all of her children, grandchildren, and soon to be her great-grandchildren, I'm sure she'll tell them, my folks wouldn't have sold the property. And during the Depression, the interesting thing they told me, we didn't know there was a Depression because we were poor mountain people. To begin with, so we didn't know what it meant to be poor.
So nothing changed.
Nothing changed, but we used to have a large hotel called the Mountain View, which everyone worked at. And she said even during the Depression, people showed up in nice cars, got out in their furs. And she said, so we didn't understand what people were saying, Depression, because we didn't have anything to lose, and people still kept traveling that had money, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And so here it is today, a thriving, booming place.
A thriving, booming place, and, you know, it's still as quaint as it was then. The city fathers and commissioners make sure that we do have building codes that we go by, painting codes, and some of it is, I mean, a lot of town is commercial, but we still have that quaintness because we're tucked in the park. I mean, the park's all around us.
All right, so anything you want to add? You have all the secrets. Tell me about other things that you're most proud of here or that somebody should do and experience.
Most proud of, we have kept our craft community. We have kept a lot of the integrity of the downtown. But at the same time, we still have the park, which people can come and enjoy with very easily. We have lightning bugs that come here to mate, and it is nature's light show. Telling one of your folks a second ago, we have a bear that comes through our little shopping complex here 3 or 4 nights a week. He dumps over some trash, and it's just common for us to see that. So,
your local bear.
Yeah, we all have local bears coming through our front yard every once in a while, but it's safe. You know, it's just we're in the mountains. We're in their home.
So you haven't lost too many kids lately? Though.
We haven't lost any children, and I've got grandchildren now that they go, look, there's a bear coming through the front yards.
So here we are in the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee.
The most visited park in the United States. My name is Dan Booth again. And for further information about Gatlinburg, go to gatlinburg.com and you will find out all the information you wanted to know. And if not, just give us a call and we will help you out. Come see us.
Thank you so much. It was great meeting you and visiting.
Nice meeting you. Thank you. Thank y'all for coming.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
The underbed music, Whistling Asheville Blues, was performed by 5-time Grammy Award-winning musician David Holt.